This week we have Parshas Tzav, the second of the sedders in the Sefer Vayikra in the book of Leviticus, which begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, God spoke to Moshe saying, Tzav es Aaron ves Bonov, command Aaron and his children. Lemer is saying, Zois Torah Sa'oilo, this is the Torah of the burnt offering. Hi ho'oilo, it is the burnt offering al moikta, on the fire, al amizbeach, on the altar, kol alaylo, all night, at haboike, until morning. Ve'esh hamizbeach tukat boy, and the fire of the altar should burn the burnt offering. And then in the morning, the kohen comes dressed in white linen, and he lifts a little bit of the ash that was left over on the altar, and he puts it next to the altar on the ground, and it becomes part of the foundations of the altar. And this went on for some 800 or 900 years without there being a little pile of ashes. And it happened every single morning, 365 days a year, and the ashes were absorbed. See, even those parts of us that don't seem to burn, that we're stuck with even after a lifetime of trying to lead a spiritual life, those bits of us which just won't catch fire, and they're left over, those bits of minerals that we have, what do we have in? We have enough iron inside our blood to make a nail. You could burn the whole physical body and there's still minerals left. There's still a doimim. There's still something that's silent and seems dead. So the Torah tells us, don't worry about it. Do not worry. The Harim is Hadeshin. The Kohen takes that very deshen, that ashes that are left over, and we were learning in the Piyasetz in the Torah that the Trumas HaDeshen, this ritual every morning, was done with a magrefa, was done with a shovel that was in fact a musical instrument, because really the only way to raise the minerals, the stone and rocks of which you made the dead stuff, the only way to raise it is with simcha, with joy, with music. The only time they didn't was on Yontif. On Yontif, they actually left the deshen, because there were so many offerings and pilgrims would come, and Pesach, Chagiga, and all the offerings that people would bring. It was beautiful to see the altar so loaded with offerings, and so they would leave on Yontif, they would leave the ashes there for one day. This week, besides being Parshas Tzav, in which we're given the Torah of the Oilo, it's also Shabbos HaGodol, the great Shabbos. Why is this Shabbos before Pesach called the great Shabbos? Many reasons are given. Probably tens of thousands of reasons are given. Probably anybody who ever said a Dvar Torah came up with a reason why Shabbos HaGodol is called the Great Shabbos. I want to say, we have in the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, this is in the 12th chapter of Exodus, right at the beginning, where Rabbi Yitzchak says the Torah should have begun. God speaks to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he says to them, "Achodesh hazeh lochem rish chadoshim." This month is the head month. Rishoin hi lochem, it's the first to you lechodesh hashana, to the months of the year. And this is where the Torah should really have begun, with the first mitzvah. But what was the first mitzvah? You could say that Rosh Chodesh itself is a mitzvah, but we didn't We didn't receive the inyan of Rosh Chodesh to make Kiddush HaChodesh with the so'ir of Rosh Chodesh, with a special offering in the tavern. That didn't happen until the following year, when we were making, when we were dedicating the temple on the first of Nisan the following year. So why would the Torah begin here? Well, because the first commandment, Dabru El Kol Hadas Yisrael, God says, speak to all the children of Israel, Leimo is saying, Ba'osu L'Chodesh Hazeh, on the 10th of the month, V'yikhu Lehem Ish Sela Beis Ovoi Sela Bois. Every Jew has to take for his household a lamb. And this was the Korban Pesach. And this was really the first mitzvah that the Jewish people are commanded, even though, you know, I suppose technically you could say that the making Rosh Chodesh, that this is the first day of the first month of the first calendar year, that this itself is a mitzvah. But the mitzvah that we all were given, the very first commandment, was on the 10th of the month, everybody should take a lamb. And then, on the 14th day of the month, we slaughter it, and then we dabbed some of the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts. And this was Pesach. So then comes all the dinim, all the laws concerning Pesach and chametz and not having chametz and eating with mora and so forth. When Moshe comes to the Yidden, later in the same chapter 12, Vayikra Moshe l'chol zikne Yisro, Moshe calls all the elders, Vayoyim aleim, and he says to them, Mishchu ukchu lechem tzoin l'mishpachizem. Draw to yourself, and take to yourselves a sheep for every family, and slaughter the Pesach. So he adds the word Mishchu. Mishchu ukchu. So ukchu means to take. Mishchu means to draw. So the Medrash says, Mishchu, you have to take your hands away from Avodah Zorah. Mishchu, Rabbi Yosef Glili Oimer, Mishchu me Avodas Koychovim, v'hidabku b'mitzvah. So to draw means you have to pull your hand away. Moshe says you have to get rid of Avodah Zorah. You have to stop being a pagan before you can reach out for Korban Pesach. And in fact, Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb sacrifice, is unique among all the 613 laws in the Torah that if you didn't withdraw your hands from paganism, you're not allowed to make Pesach. So a Kohen who's a little bit pagan is still can eat terumi, right? If he's arguing with about, you know, God and this and that, he can still be a Kohen, he can still eat teruma, but a Yid who doesn't profess the belief and faith in one God, and one God that there is only God, is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach with us. Kol ben necha lo yechol boy, anybody who's a pig is not allowed. And so it's very different. There's something very different about Korban Pesach. So why does Moshe change what essentially was a simple commandment from God to make it complicated? God says, simply speak to the children, v'yikhu lehem, let them take, let everybody take a lamb for each house. And Moshe has to add mishchu, draw. So everybody knows that the Zohar Kodesh asks, how come it says Vayavorach Elikim Yisrael Mashvi, God blesses the seventh day, Vayikadesh Oisoi. Everybody knows, comes Shabbos, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. You have to have two challahs, two matzahs. But there was no mon. The mon didn't fall on Shabbos. So the Zohar Kodesh asks, if there was no man on Shabbos, on Friday there fell double, why doesn't the Torah tell us that God blessed Friday? Friday seems like a blessed day because man fell enough for Friday and for Shabbos. On Shabbos there was no man, nothing fell. Where's the brocha in it? And the Zohar Kodesh answers that my name is Baruchin Yomin Elohim, that time, the days that we have here, everything that we have here in this world, is a mirror image of a meta world, of a world, an idea that God has, so to speak, in his mind. And those Yomin Elohim, those supernal days, which are not necessarily 24-hour periods, it's, it would probably be impossible to understand them at all. Nevertheless, there are 6 days in the idea of time, and they get blessed every Shabbos. So everything that happens in the week, its mukar, its source, is in the Shabbos beforehand. So any yontif that falls during the week, the power of that yontif is there in the Shabbos beforehand. Why does a baby boy only get circumcised on the 8th day? Because he has to live through Shabbos. Because the neshama that comes through Shabbos, everything that comes through Shabbos. The mitzvah to be circumcised, that itself comes through Shabbos. Everything that comes into the world comes through Shabbos. So Shabbos HaGodol, this is the Shabbos through which Pesach comes. This year, Dafke, Shabbos, Friday night itself is Pesach. But the Karban, the offering of the Pesach Karban, is going to happen during the week. The holiness of that carbon, the whole mitzvah of that carbon, comes to us through Shabbos. So, we know, we've learned many times, the Gemara says, Torah noiveles chachmei lo. The Torah that we have is an unripe version. Noivlois are these little grapes that grow, which, you know, when you put them in your mouth, they're really sour and sometimes bitter and they're tiny. They don't swell up and fill with color and sugar and all the delightful things. They're called noivlois. The Torah that we have, which we received much too early, because the Torah really was supposed to have given La'elef Dor to the 1,000th generation. And we human beings had made such a mess that we had to be given the Torah in the 26th generation. So there are 974 generations unborn. So the Torah that we're given, we're not really ready for. And it the shape of the Torah has been, it's noivlois. What is it, noivlois? What is it, an unripe version? It's an unripe version of Chochmah. What does that mean? It means the tefillin that we put on, the mezuzah that we put on our door, the matzah that we eat. It represents something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. The way that God interacts with us, or that we're not really aware. Tefillin demore almo maik sivbu. You know, God wears tefillin. And in the tefillin it says, umika'amcha Yisroel ge'echad ba'aretz. Who is like your people Israel, a singular nation? In our tefillin it says, Shema Yisroel Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Our tefillin are this mirror image. God commands us to offer sacrifice on Pesach, to eat this selah boys. This is the very first mitzvah. Moshe adds something to it. Moshe says, Mishchel. Chevre, you have to make a commitment to withdraw your hand from paganism. That is going to be for you forever. The meaning of Pesach is to step back from paganism and to reach out for the mitzvah. What did Moshe see in this to frame it in this way? Because the Torah nevelos chachma ilo'o, the Torah is a mirror image of what's going on. And Moshe, in a sense, is experiencing, or God is guiding him, or Moshe is making it up. What he says, Rabbeinu Shelolem, for this to happen, you have to withdraw your hand from the Ovdei Avodah Zorah. You have to withdraw from the pagans. We have to withdraw from paganism, and you have to withdraw from pagans. So Moshe adds something to this mitzvah, because all mitzvahs are a mirror image. We do in a small way what God is doing in a big way. And so this is the Gevalt Gedula, this is the greatness of Moshe. Yismach Moshe v'matnas chelkoi. Shabbos belongs to Moshe. Moshe can do on Shabbos whatever he wants. And the first great thing that he does is the very first mitzvah. He says, Rabbeinu Shelolem, we are going to take your mitzvah and we're going to take it a step further, because we are going to withdraw from all kinds of Avodah Zorah, any kind of Avodah Zorah. And you, Rabbeinu Shelolem, you're going to have to withdraw from any kind of pagan. It doesn't matter how from he comes across, or how much honor it might seem that may accrue to you from this pagan. Rabbeinu Shelolem, this is how you set up the Torah. It's a mirror image. Whatever mitzvah we have, you have. And so therefore, we're expanding our mitzvah. So you're expanding your mitzvah. And so on this Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws from the whole world of paganism and takes us, Tzayin Kodeshim, the Yiddish Kinder, who are compared to a sheep. Why a sheep? Because sheep follow. Sheep follow. So, in this week's Sedra, we have the oil of the burnt offering. So I want to say over a little bit a Torah from the Megala Amukos. He brings a pshetel from the Yonas Elim. Yonas Elim, there was an Italian rabbi, Menachem Azaria di Fanu, and he was a Talmud of Reb Moshe Cordovero. And when Reb Moshe Cordovero had finished his book, Paradis Rimonim, he sent it to Italy to the Ramami Pano, who undertook to print it and so forth. And among the Sforim that the Ramami Pano wrote is a treatise on the spheres called Yonas Elim. So the Megal Amukos brings from the Yonas Elim, he says that a hesped, that the eulogy, that we eulogize a tzaddik, the purpose of it is not really so much for the tzaddik. A tzaddik who dies, he passes on, he goes to his reward. There's very little that we need to do for him or that he needs from us. But the world requires the hesped. The hesped, the eulogy, the words that we say about the soul, they have a power not just to raise the soul, but also to empower the soul as it's going up to heaven to take with it souls that don't have the power to fly. Some of us, at the end, we are laden down, we're burdened with heaviness. Chametz that we have that is sticking to the sides of the vessel. Stuff we've picked up that we are not able to just discard. Whatever it is that stops us from flying. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the verse in the Song of Songs, chapter 3, says, "Mi zois oila min hamidbar?" Who is this coming up from the wilderness? Kisimrois oshon, like pillars of cloud. Mukuteres moir, all incensed, all fragrant with myrrh, olivoina, and frankincense. Mikoil avkas roicha, from all the dusts, all the powders of the perfumers. So the Megala Mukhi says, "Mi zois oila?" Who is this? Who is the oila? The word burnt offering that we talk about in our Sedra, the word that we actually use, is oila. God says to Moshe, command Aaron and his children and tell him, Zois toiras ha'oila. This is the Torah of the oila. We translate it as burnt offering, but what does it really mean? It means that which goes up. The soul is that which goes up. Mizois oila, he brings the verse from Shir HaShirim, min hamidbar, which we translate as min hamidbar, from the wilderness, but it really means min hamedaber, from the speaking. There's something that happens when we speak that changes everything. Even in such a case where somebody has passed on and they need to be lightened, there's something about the power of the things that we say that makes possible a change. So going back to the verse in Shir HaShirim, he says, "Mi zois oila min hamidbar?" Who is this that comes up out of the speaking? Kisimrois oshon, like the pillars of cloud. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we come across these pillars of cloud. It says, the miracles, what's miracles? Miracles, that's the dam, that's the blood. As it says, it's a verse in the prophet Joel, V'nosati moifsim b'shamayim v'aretz, and I will put miracles, wonders, signs in heaven and earth, dam, blood, v'esh, and fire, v'simreis oshan, and pillars of cloud, a vortex of cloud. And there, in the Song of Songs, we also find, who is this coming up from the speech, min hamidbar, kisimreis oshan, like a vortex of clouds. So the Megal Amukoi says, not good. Oshan is not good. Oshan is an otarikon. We usually translate it as smoke, but it's an otarikon of Akrov, Sorov, and Nochosh, the scorpion, the snake, and the serpent. So, very often when we go, we are accompanied by the scorpion, the snake, and the serpent that we have with our own actions we have made. What's the next part of the verse? Mukuteres, on the other hand, she's all perfumed with myrrh, with frankincense, and with all these beautiful perfume powders. Mikoil avkas roichem. No, mor, the very first of the besamim is mor, mor dror. And the Gemara says, why, what is, where do we find Mordechai in the Torah? We find him there in the mor dror, mor odachio, the pure myrrh. You know who we have? Who is the Oshan? Who is the Akrav, Sorav, Nochash? Who is the scorpion, the snake, and the serpent that accompanies us when we go? That's Haman. Haman is Amalek. Haman is the one who is always speaking bad. There's this people. They don't do the laws of the king. This is Haman standing there in front of the throne of glory. What is this avak? What is this dust that the soul has on it? It has the dust that Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayeovik ish imoy. It says he had a dust up that night. Vayevose Yaakov levada, and Yaakov found himself alone. Vayeovik ish imoy, and a man dusted up with him. Who was the man? This was the Soroi shel Esav. This was the angel of Esav. This was the Zayd of Haman. See, why is Haman and Mordechai, why are they so important? Because in the end, we say to Haman, Kach es alevush v'es hasus, take the garments and the horse. Kach edibarch, exactly as you said. V'halbesh es Mordechai ha-Yehudi, and put them on Mordechai. Al tapel dove mikol ha-shedibartu, you're not allowed to miss out one of the details. You see, on the one hand, we have the Simrois Oshan. We are accompanied by the smoke, the smog of all the pollution that we've polluted the world. We take it with us. We take Haman with us. On the other hand, guess what? Haman is the one who has to dress Mordechai. Haman himself, it's not like Haman has to like cede and defeat and say, all right, Mordechai, you beat me. Okay, I withdraw from the field. No. Haman himself has to take off the dirty clothes that Mordechai is wearing. And he himself, like the Medrash says, and Mordechai said, you know what, I'm too tired from fasting. You're going to have to... you're going to have to bend down so I can stand on you and get on the horse. Yeah. You know, I'm not putting on these clothes. I've been fasting. You know, you're going to have to bathe me first. You know, I need a shave. You know, Mordechai has to act like a barber, and he has to act like a footstool, like a porter and a footman. And this is the same Haman who is the kategor, right? He's the accuser. So the Rebbe says, Zois Torah Sa'oila, in this week's Sedra, this is what we're being told. Zois Torah Sa'oila, the Torah that you have to speak, the things that you have to say about the person who is going into the other world. Al Moikta, in the fire, Al Mizbech, on the Mizbech. It could be either or. It depends on us, you know, what we say. How could it depend on us so much? So the Megal HaMukri says, actually the Yonas Elim says, just as there is Noivelas Chochmila Torah, that Torah is an unripe version of the sphere of Chochma, what's the unripe version of the sphere of Bina? It's the Shechina. So the Torah is an unripe version of the sphere of Chachma, and the Shechina is an unripe version of the sphere of Bina. Bina is the mother. Chachma is the father. Chachma is the Yud. And Bina is the Hey. And we have to make a Zivuk. We have to marry off our father and mother. Sometimes hard to marry off your father and mother. Who wants to get involved in the father and mother business? But really, sometimes we have to. That is what's being expected of us. That's the reason that we come down into this world. But what does it mean that the Shekhinah is an unripe version of Bina? You know, It's very hard for me to think of God as my mother. It's much easier for me to think of God as my father, because with my father, all I experience really is an intellectual, it's a spiritual, it's a loving, it's a touching, it's an external, it's speech, it's words, it's emotions. It's all the things that my experience with my mother is not. My mother, I came from her womb. I drank milk from her breast. I can't imagine what it feels like to be my mother and to look at me. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it felt like to be my mother and to give me birth. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I can imagine what it feels like to be my father, but I can't imagine what it feels like to be my mother. So, in a sense, Torah Noveles Chochmei Elohei, the Torah that I have, I can, in a way, I can extrapolate what it means, Chochmei. But the Shekhinah that I have, the Neshama that I have, the soul that I have, I can't really imagine how it's a mother. It's my problem. And so we use the words Zois Toira Sa'oila, Zois. Zois refers to the Shekhinah. This is the words, the Torah, the Zois and the Torah that you have to speak about yourself in such a way that those Simrois Oshan, that those Malachi Chabola, when a person dies, the Gemara says that three legions of angels of destruction and torture come to greet that person. And on the other side, what? On the other side are the angels that are trying to protect the person. If you say the right thing, then those angels who are start off being the Malachi Chabola, who start off being the angels of destruction and torture, they themselves are the ones who take off the clothing of dirt and put on the Bigdei Yesha, who put on the clothing of salvation. And that's why the moment of dying, the Megal Amukis says, the moment of dying is like entering Shabbos. And in fact, as the soul leaves the body, it sings Mizmor Shir LeYoyim HaShabbos. Megal Amukis says, you know, when we came out of Egypt, we had on the side those Malachi Chabola. We came out of Egypt and we were accompanied by angels who stood there saying to God, Manishtanu halalu mehalalu. What? How are these different from those? Halalu oivdei avodazara v'halalu oivdei avodazara. What right, God, do you have to favor these Jews, these Hebrews, these Israelites? What right, when you are a just God, and if we're talking about justice, what difference is there between these and these? These are just a bunch of pagans. These are just a bunch of pagans. How come we see that you're setting this up to send them through the Red Sea and to drown all the Egyptians? The Egyptians cared for these. But the Egyptians were like the mother. We were in Egypt like in a womb. Being born from Egypt, says the Megal Amukis, was not much different from dying. And in fact, as we came out of Egypt, we said, Aziv Zimrat Ka. My strength is Yud Hei, which is Abba and Imma, which is the father and the mother. We came out, coming out of Egypt was in a sense a little bit like dying. Until those very angels, and this is the point about Pesach, it was those very angels who started off by being the Malachi Chabora, by being the Kategorim, the angels who started off by saying to God, Elu ve'elu, what difference is there? They're all a bunch of pagans. Those angels themselves were the ones who stripped us of the garments of dirt and of paganism and dressed us in the Bigdei Yesha and dressed us in the clothing of salvation that we were able to enter Ze Hashal Hashem Tzadikim Yavoyavoy. These are the gates of God. What are the gates of God? These are the gates of Gan Eden. In order to pass through the gates of Gan Eden, you have to take off the clothing, this clothing, and put on the other clothing. This we do with the things we say. And this is why matzah is called matzah lechem oini sha'inim olav dvorim harbe. The Gemara says one of the reasons we call it lechem oini, we translate as usually the bread of affliction or the bread of poverty, but it also is the bread of speech. We have in ourselves the ability to take the zois and to speak the Torah of the oiler, of the one who is going up, to strip away all the bad, the moikta, to take away the fire, and to put it onto the Mizbeach kol ha'layla, to put it onto the altar all the night, until the morning when it becomes clear that everything has become pure as fire, everything has risen to its source, and what's left, Vehirim Misadeshen, we take those little bits of dross, and they become actually the foundation of the Mizbeach for the next oiler that is going to go up. I just want to bless you and me that we should this Shabbos experience, feel the gadlus, feel the greatness of Moshe, who invites us to take away, to withdraw from paganism, to put ourselves into the hands of God, and God himself takes away his hands from all the nations of the world, and Hen al kapayim chakosir, God says, I've carved you into the palms of my own hands, and I look at you and I watch you and I have you in my mind all the time. And we should be zoiche to say all the words that need to be said, to strip ourselves of our own big day tzoyo, and to have the very angels that we created who speak bad about us should then dress us in the garments of glory, that we should be able to make Pesach with joy and with happiness and with gladness in Yerushalayim, b'mehir b'me'ani, amen.